1045 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The New Hampshire primary is set for tomorrow with Ron DeSantis no longer in the running. ABC National Correspondent Stephen Portnoy has more from Manchester.
You don't have to be a registered Republican to take part in the GOP primary here, and Nikki Haley has been performing best in the pre-election polling among New Hampshire's better educated and wealthier voters, as well as those who describe themselves as moderates or liberals. It's why Donald Trump has been blasting her as the preferred candidate of Democrats. He says it's time for Republicans to come together around him.
Former President Trump could possibly testify today in New York in the defamation trial over his 2019 comments branding columnist E. Jean Carroll a liar when she said that he sexually assaulted her back in the mid-90s. Much of the country is still gripped by Arctic weather and treacherous icy roads. Nationally, winter storms have claimed at least 72 lives this January, many involving hypothermia or traffic crashes. City of Memphis still dealing with numerous broken water pipes. This is ABC News. In Texas, another step toward possible criminal charges against some members of law enforcement after the massacre at Robb Elementary.
Last Thursday, the Justice Department released its 575-page report detailing what it called the failed police response to Robb Elementary School. Families of the 21 victims then demanded action from the local district attorney.
Do your job.
What else does she possibly need to prosecute?
Now the DA has announced that a special grand jury has been seated to decide whether law enforcement mistakes rise to the level of criminal wrongdoing, a process that could take 6 months. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Lawmakers in Washington state are expected to consider a measure that would ban police from hog-tying suspects. Nearly 4 years ago, Manuel Ellis died while face down, his hands and feet cuffed together. And the African country of Cameroon is now the first anywhere in the world to launch a malaria vaccine program for children. The disease has killed over 600,000 people just in 2022. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now, it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill has a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is likely to veto the bill. The state health department is recommending that all young children be tested for lead in their blood. Previously, only children deemed at risk were recommended to be tested, like those living in homes built before 1978. They say that children as young as 1 or 2 years old should be tested, and as old as 5 if they haven't yet been tested. Exposure to lead can lead to slowed growth and development. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks play the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee and Detroit again at Little Caesars Arena, part of a doubleheader. The Bucks won the first game Saturday night, 145-131. College basketball, after losing one on the road to Penn State, the Badgers picked up a win at home at the Kohl Center over Indiana, 91-79. Wisconsin, now ranked 11th in the nation, heads to Minnesota in a game against the Gophers tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers, with exit meetings with their coaches after losing to the 49ers, 24-21. Matt
LaFleur.
Well, I think anytime there's a finality to the season, it's always tough unless you're the last team standing. And for us to lose this game certainly stings, and I'm sure it's going to sting for a long time. But I was proud of the effort of our guys, our ability to weather some real adversity throughout the course of the season and stick together. And I told the guys, you know, I think part of the reason it stings so bad right now is we fully believed and fully expected to win this game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy today, but it's also going to be warmer. Our high 28 this afternoon, the wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy 22. Tomorrow, a little light snow or a few flurries in the morning. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy all day with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Nice to have you along live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks joining us on the radio, joining us on the app, joining us by social media, where we get a hello from Rob, who says, good morning. It's clear and 18 in Tigerton. I was really excited about the Packers' future. Tough loss, but a bright future. Thank you, Rob, for that. From Jay, he says, Greek yogurt has less sodium. As we got into the very deep discussion of types of yogurt and, you know, what it is that Kristen has against the Greeks, their yogurt.
I do not have anything.
Why does
Greek?
Dr. Lively hate brought Greek that up. People? Dr. Lively
nice
does
options.
Not like yogurt either.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us now to weigh in on the weighty question of what type of yogurt is your favorite. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. I would have to say just the normal, plain, regular yogurt.
Are you a fruit on the bottom kind of person?
I do like the parfait. So if I can throw like granola or fruit in there, yes, yes, please.
Well, that's the only way I would ever eat that stuff, that healthy stuff, because I got to be able to throw as much schmutz in there as possible, you know?
Agreed. Give it a little flavor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So these temperatures are like Hayward is 30 degrees warmer than it was when we visited on Friday. It's 20 above. It was 10 below back on Friday. Lake Wissota's at 12, Park Falls 14, Wausau 17. Green Bay 23, La Crosse 25. It's 19 in Rapids. Oshkosh is at 23. Madison's at 23. Waukesha 21. That's a nice improvement, Brittany, from, you know, 72 hours ago. Is this how things are looking for the week?
Isn't it great? We took the negative out of the temperature. Right?
There you go.
Just
we accentuate
that.
The positive. That's right.
Exactly. But it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster. So warm weather lovers, here it comes. No more below freezing. We're not going to be in any wind chill warnings. That's done for this week for sure. In fact, temperatures have been soaring the past 24 hours. We've just been going up and up and up, and we're not done yet. We're going to go all the way to the low 30s today. So a high of about 30 to 32 degrees across the state. What this means, though, is we've got a system to the south. It's bringing drizzle and snow to portions of the lakeshore right now. So down in towards Janesville, Baraboo, the Dells, you have icy conditions on your roads right now. It is a glaze of ice out there. And that's going to continue to lift throughout this afternoon to portions of southern parts of the state, right? As it starts this afternoon, we'll start to calm down a little bit, right? But tomorrow morning, what's going to happen is we're going to be waking up to an icy glaze and snow ongoing, because our temperatures are going to be hovering right around that freezing mark. So to kind of put it, why is this happening? If you're looking at your temperature and it says it's 31 or 30, if you're getting freezing drizzle, it's because way up high, there's still warm air up there. So it's falling as rain and then freezing on contact here at the surface as well. So a lot of cold stuff is going to have ice on it, untreated surfaces. So keep that in mind as we go through the next 24 hours. So then we'll flip to snow tomorrow morning throughout the afternoon. Then we're going to start to get even warmer as we push into Wednesday, bringing nearly a quarter inch of rainfall. That's going to cause problems because our temperatures want to snap back below freezing at night and also into the weekend as well. So a big melt coming with rain on top of it, kind of spring-like, of course, and then a refreeze again. So a lot of icy conditions out there. I suggest for everyone, if you don't have them already, those yak track kind of things, the rubber, you throw them over any boot, any shoe, they've got little metal grips on there, and it just helps in those icy situations because even your parking lot, your stairs, just pay attention out there the next 48 hours.
Or saddle up a Husky, you know, whatever it takes to get through. Just be extra careful because we already know of some folks who, you know, hurt themselves pretty badly, you know, slipping on ice already. And Kristen, I can't remember if it was you. Somebody said that, you know, we felt like we were going to pay a price for having such a quiet, you know, early start to winter, you know, in December. And an ice glaze on things, that would be one way to make up for our good fortune for the first few weeks. So I'm hoping that's very limited tomorrow, if at all.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know if I said it was me, but I have definitely felt that way. And I know many other people have felt that way as well.
Okay. Brittany, we appreciate it so much. Thanks. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. And Brittany will have updates on the weather throughout the course of the day, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, I was going to mention coming up later this hour, we will have Kate Duffy and Emily Timed from Motherhood for Good joining us for Motherhood Monday. And they will continue the discussion that we've started with Dr. Lyerly here about today's 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, no longer in effect, that had protected women and their abortion rights. So that's coming up down at the bottom of the hour. And if you'd like to join us along the way, 844-967-2789 is the number. Call it or text it, 844-967-2789. The daily newsletter from Up North News came out early this morning, as it always does on weekdays. We'd love to have you sign up. Go to upnorthnewswi.com for more about that. Today includes a story about how the overdraft fees at banks could drop substantially thanks to the Biden administration looking at a new rule. But also in there, and it seems like it was tailor-made for Kristen, is a story about ranking the Big Ten's mascots.
What?
And so, yes, so there was a national list of ranking the mascots. And somehow or another, the Badger mascot came in at number 4, it looks like. Yeah. How could that be? Wait a minute. Let's see. It's a power ranking of every mascot. I want to see who did this.
Yeah, who did this ranking?
Wow.
Who
did this? Sports reporters are bored.
It's a website called SaturdayTradition.com. So it's about college football. And the mascots were scored on uniqueness, how well they embody the spirit of the university, entertainment value, whether or not they're an actual mascot, like an object, an animal, or a person. And so Bucky landed at a solid number 4 is what it says here. And let's see if I can find that full ranking, because I know somebody here is very interested in how
Gophers number 1.
Oh, look who's number 1. Gophers were number 1.
Why? Boy, oh boy. I guess why are they
They're still living off of Kristen's displaying her Goldie Gopher t-shirt that she's wearing. So in other words, they're still getting traction off of all the work that you put in to set up this very spirited mascot. Is how I take it.
Hardly. Yeah, I mean, to be very honest with you, when I was Goldie, it was not like how it is now. Now they have like 6 or 7 people. It is a really big deal. They have a coach, they have practice, they have money, they have support. I don't know if you've seen the videos circulating on TikTok, not about the mascots, but about the dance teams, dance team and LSU. And oh my gosh, it is so different than it was back when I was in college. This is like intense sports stuff.
What's the matter, Greg?
What? You were the mascot at You were the gopher? I never knew
you're
this.
You're hearing this for the first time?
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry, I missed every other week when we talked about mascots.
You've missed it for the past year that we've been, you know, occasionally getting stories from her getting into this, you know, big sweaty gym sock of a costume every so often and, you know, parading around with all the fans. Yeah.
I've just been Oliver. I've been a golden gopher.
She's talking to the BBC. She's
done it all. I produced Barack Obama's birth certificate and told Donald Trump to shove it.
So the link to the ranking of mascots is in our newsletter as well. So
indirectly, yes. Dr. Lyerly, you're number one.
Yes. And did you see the video? Did you see the video? Goldie spinning his head. That actually was me. There's a whole story about that. But spin your head was
can
me
you
in
go,
the marching band.
Can
we
you
came
go
up
back
with
to the university
thing.
And like as an alumni be like, let me in. I get the.
Well, I am going back on Thursday to get fitted for my letter jacket.
Oh, we're coming back to the leather jacket. Here
we go. You're just like
I was supposed to do it last week, but there was a change in schedule, so now I'm doing it this week.
I will never be interesting.
Oh, look, again, this is Kristen's world. We're just living in it over here. We're just, you know, playing an accessory role. It says under the website here, Saturday Tradition, Goldie is the most versatile mascot in the Big Ten, updating his look for every sporting event. You can count on Goldie wearing a costume over his costume every Halloween. Goldie's signature head spin is the move that puts him head and shoulders above the competition. And they list Brutus Buckeye as number two, Sparty from Michigan State as number three.
Sparty's under boring.
Yes.
All exactly. Right. All right. Be nice.
So if we can get to Bucky Badger here at number four, let's see. Along with Sparty, Bucky is a member of the Mascot Hall of Fame's inaugural class, and deservedly so. Bucky puts in the work doing push-ups for every point Wisconsin scores. That equated to 573 push-ups in an 83-20 win over Indiana back in 2010, though work was less exhausting in the Graham Mertz era. Oh, we're taking shots at past quarterbacks here. That's wrong.
I'm really surprised they haven't tried to
circulate.
Yeah.
There's a different Bucky for every quarter. So it's not like there's one Bucky doing all of the push-ups.
No.
Didn't you
no,
just get done saying there's six gophers?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So they.
But not for every event. For every football game, there are four Buckys, and the Buckys switch out every quarter.
Yeah. Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm just surprised college football hasn't tried to monetize this in a way of like a Avengers film with all of the the 10. And they're saving some sort. And by the way, if you're listening, college football, that's my idea. That's my idea.
Well, I feel like they're monetizing them by they're appearing in like, you know, commercials now. Like, I don't know if it's insurance commercials or what, where they have all the mascots, you know, taking part in things. So, oh, yeah. And if that's the case, if Kristen were back in school, could she work out like a name, image and license deal like all the student athletes can now?
Yeah, probably.
Can we monetize?
This could be my ticket.
Yeah, your tickets, said the physician.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, somebody help this poor destitute woman over here.
I mean, she's
monetized wearing a gopher
boys.
Costume.
She got four boys. Those boys probably eat a lot. So
they do. There's a lot of groceries going on out there. All right. We will get back to today's headlines, including the vice president coming to Wisconsin today to talk about women's health care rights, the Motherhood for Good Friends coming by in a little bit as well. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will wrap up our show today with three things you need to know to get the week started. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a moment.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Albaugh with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe Pam Jahnke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Join us at PeaceCorps.gov.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
In 75 years old today. Kristen, as we talk about Vice President Kamala Harris coming to town, we're going to hear from her in just a little bit. We're going to play an excerpt when she was on The View last week talking about her upcoming trip to Wisconsin and elsewhere to, again, fight for women's health care rights. But there, another clip I wanted to play for you right now is a commercial that the Biden-Harris campaign put out. And it's an interesting combination between women who have experience with abortion that they weren't expecting to have and the perspective of an OBGYN. In this case, they were one and the same. Let's listen to that ad.
I'm an OBGYN in Texas and a mother of three wonderful children. Having this beautiful, messy, chaotic, but wonderful family, it's the joy of my life. I never thought that I would need an abortion for a planned pregnancy, but I did. 2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. At a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and that there was absolutely no chance of survival. In Texas, you are forced to carry that pregnancy, and that is because of Donald Trump overturning Roe v. Wade. The choice was completely taken away. I was to continue my pregnancy, putting my life at risk. It's every woman's worst nightmare, and it was absolutely unbearable. We need leaders that will protect our rights and not take them away, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
That really seems, in a nutshell, to sum up something you've been telling us for over a year, between doctors being able to work with their patients and patients who aren't abortion is not part of their plan, but it then becomes something very real.
It's common. One in four women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime. And to hear this OBGYN story about her own desired pregnancy that ended in abortion because that was the best thing for her health and well-being, that is not an unusual story. In fact, there is someone exactly like that in Green Bay, exactly like that, a desired pregnancy in OBGYN, a horrible situation. And that is just the abortion part of the story. Imagine the rest of her life and her family's life as she continues to suffer and deal with the repercussions of this terrible event, made more terrible by the political infiltration of her decision making and the decisions that she had to make in order to receive the health care that she needed, flying to Colorado, having to pay all of this extra money, not being able to have the support around her that would have really helped her cope better in this situation. We are doing an incredible disservice to women, to families, and to our communities by allowing politicians to make decisions for women instead of making our own personal healthcare decisions.
And to, you know, add insult to injury, I would also add beyond the politicians are the people who I guess I would politely refer to as busybodies. They're not politicians, but they are motivated by ideology to frankly, abuse women going through a tough time in their lives. We've talked about the case of Heather Martell here in Chippewa Falls. She has told her story multiple times of, again, a planned pregnancy, the heartbreaking diagnosis, having to travel to Minnesota, and having to go through a ring of people shouting terrible things at her about being a baby killer and everything else when she wanted a baby desperately. She wanted to protect her options to have another baby someday. But this is what she had to do. This is the ordeal she had to go through because of politicians, and then the ordeal she had to go through because of busybodies. Again, putting it very politely, who, again, how dare they? You don't know what any other person is going through when they go into a clinic of any kind. And to judge somebody like that, trust me, I'm judging you pretty harshly right now. If that's a thing that you think you consider, the Lord's work, guess again. It's my two cents on it. One other thing that came up in the commercial that I want to make a point on, and that's the nitpickiness of political journalism. You heard this OBGYN in the commercial say that Donald Trump repealed Roe v. Wade. And I can already see the PolitiFact article that will say mostly false or pants on fire, because they will take it literally as, well, Donald Trump didn't repeal Roe v. Wade. He did appoint three Supreme Court justices, all right-wingers, who all lied during their confirmation hearing, saying that Roe v. Wade was settled law, and then voted to repeal it. You can't fit all that in a 30-second ad. You can't fit all that in a 30-second news story. People get the connection. Roe v. Wade was repealed by Donald Trump appointing those justices. But when you see these PolitiFact stories, sometimes you got to read deeper and understand that they are not at all focused on the larger issue. They're looking to say, look how smart I am. I can read too deeply into writing. And just be wary of that when you're looking at the coverage of these things.
Sorry, I think that's one of the things that makes it really hard for people to interpret, because it's not a direct connection. But if you look at the whole history of how abortion became a political thing, it doesn't make sense that abortion is such a huge piece of our political outlook right now. But it's very intentional. It was a very intentional strategy that developed when Roe was initially passed in 1973. And it has evolved over time and involved numerous partners, and the partners were able to eat power out of it. It was all incredibly intentional. It was tricky, and it was emotional. Ultimately, it comes down to emotions. How does this make you feel? It plucks at your heartstrings. It makes you uncomfortable. But that's why now we have to talk about it. And for people like Heather Martell, incredibly courageous, sharing her story so that other people, remember, 1 in 4 women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime. Other people now feel comfortable talking about it, whether it's on a big stage or in small groups or even with just their families, having these conversations. This is the only way we're going to get past this artificial barrier that was so strategically and intentionally placed between us and our leaders.
And as we'll hear the vice president say coming up in the next segment here, there was a degree of complacency. Because again, we took people at their word when they said Roe was settled law. And so I'm sure a lot of people just didn't want to believe when the Dobbs decision was first leaked out many weeks in advance. They didn't want to believe that it would actually happen. And now it has. And now comes the very, very sadly long fight back. And even then, I couldn't possibly tell you when abortion rights will be restored at a national level, because it would take multiple presidencies and, recomposing the United States Supreme Court. And that's not something you can snap your fingers and make happen. So on a state-by-state basis, you're going to have these, statewide votes like you've seen in, Kansas and recently in Ohio and elsewhere. And you're going to see things happening in state legislatures like here in Wisconsin, where the Republicans are trying to go backwards and, institute a 14-week abortion ban. And that's going to be the topic coming up with Emily and Kate from Motherhood for Good, who are going to join us along with Dr. Lyerly and continue this conversation on the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on this Monday, January 22nd, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Wisconsin Farm Technology Days has announced the host for the 2026 event. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. They're headed to the Stratford area for the 72nd annual show, where No Joke Dairy is getting ready to host. Anna Maynard, general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, explains they've had to change up their system when it comes to finding farms willing to host the state's largest outdoor agriculture event.
So it just got to be harder and harder to go the route where we found a county who said, oh, yes, we want you to come. And then after you say that you'll come, then we'll go out and find a farm. Mm-hmm. And what I started hearing was from farms that said, you know, we would have the show, but our county's not interested. We don't have an ag agent who's interested in doing it. Our ag agent is new, so they're not interested in doing it. And so we just decided, you know, if there's farms out there that are willing to do this, maybe we just go direct.
Anna Maynard, general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Now, this year's host site is still hosted by a county. We'll be headed to Chippewa County, just outside of the Country Fest grounds, August 13th through the 15th for this year's show. And then beginning in 2025, individual farms will step up to host the event.
What does supporting rural communities look like? At Compere Financial, we believe it starts with giving back. That's why we are here, with grants that invest in the communities we serve to help beginning farmers, fund agricultural education, support first responders, stimulate economic growth, and partner with causes that matter to our clients. Visit Compere.com to learn more. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Innovation, that's BioVet. The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation. And a team of four from UW River Falls has been placed first in the nation in the National Forage Bowl competition. They were the smallest university in the competition. Members of the team included Ryan Botma, sophomore from Maple Grove, Minnesota, Jace Hyman, a senior from Kewaunee, Tucker Lundquist, senior from St. Paul, and Hannah Schall, a sophomore from Medford, Minnesota. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news. More available anytime at Midwest Farm Report. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics,
or trying
to look
busy
at work. It is going to
be cloudy today, but it's also going to be warmer. Our high 28 this afternoon, the wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy 22. Tomorrow, a little light snow or a few flurries in the morning. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy all day with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
you were catching the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke just now, you should know that she's on several Civic Media radio stations throughout the 5 a.m. hour on Civic Media stations in Hayward, Oshkosh, Amory, and Richland Center. Get the Civic Media app and be able to listen to those stations and hear other great programming. Just go to civicmedia.us to learn more. It's Motherhood Monday. Our friends from Motherhood for Good are here. Emily Tyne, Kate Duffy, Dr. Lyerly sticks around with us as well. Because of the big day that this is, it's the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. There is a new legislative attempt to institute a 14-week abortion ban in Wisconsin. And Vice President Kamala Harris is stopping in Wisconsin today, continuing a nationwide tour to keep people thinking about the issue of restoring rights. The vice president was on The View late last week. Here's a clip of some of what she had to say about the importance of protecting women's health care rights.
One does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government should not be telling her what to do with her body. If she chooses, she will talk with her priest, her pastor, her rabbi, her imam, but it should not be the government telling her what to do. And that's all I believe that is really required. We are not asking anyone to abandon their personal beliefs.
Right.
It's just that the government should not, and in this year of our Lord 2024, the government should not be telling women what to do with their bodies. And so it's that basic. And I'll tell you again, I am traveling the country. I did the college tour, and starting January 22nd, which is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, I'm starting a tour on fighting for our reproductive freedom. And I'm going to tell you, traveling our country, listen, you know, so many of us actually grew up when Roe was intact. And we would absolutely say we must protect it, we must protect it, a woman's right to choose, but we kind of believed it was always going to be there.
Yeah, we did.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
And I say that in the context of this democracy also. Don't take anything for granted. We must fight for it. And so on this issue, though, guys, listen, traveling the country, we're all adults. Women are having miscarriages in toilets. Women are going to an emergency room for medical assistance with a miscarriage, and the doctors are so afraid that they might be jailed, because in places like Texas, a doctor can go to prison. That women are developing sepsis, and it's only then that they're being treated in an emergency room. It's a real issue. It's one of the biggest issues in this election. Everyone has a role to play.
Kate and Emily from Motherhood for Good. I mean, that kind of encapsulates, you know, what you're doing, why you're doing it. And Kate, I got to figure, you know, the vice president knows something if she's starting this tour in Wisconsin today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we're really excited about that. It just shows how important of an issue this is and has been. Something we're really like happy about with this administration is they're not just talking about it in terms of kind of the reelection campaign. They've been talking about it. Both, you know, VP Kamala Harris and President Biden have been talking about reproductive rights since Dobbs, and they have never stopped, and it's always been a priority for them. And to have the vice president kick off her reproductive freedom tour today in Wisconsin goes to show how important this is to her and the administration in general, and how critical of a state Wisconsin is going to be in this fight, which is why we're working so hard to and talking to so many people about it as well.
And the engagement that the administration is making, I know, Kate, you've been, you know, in touch with people at the White House. Emily, you're aware of, you know, how of the administration outreach to folks who are on the ground level, you know, you and everybody else with Motherhood for Good. Emily, it's got to feel pretty good feeling like, you know, the cavalry is behind you there.
Yeah, like Kate said, I mean, they've been doing things from the beginning as much as they can with the power they have, executive orders to strengthen HIPAA or make sure emergency care happens in emergency rooms and the things that they have control over. But they also have control over the relationships. And I think, you know, President Biden, Vice President Harris, as humans, the things I've always appreciated about them is they they go out and they learn about people and they talk to people. And it's so similar to what we try to do at Motherhood for Good, right? We don't think that watching a ad on the news or even maybe watching that View episode, as impactful as it was, is going to be the only thing that changes your mind. But it's talking to someone trusted, like the VP suggested there. Go talk to your clergy person. Go talk to your family. Go talk to your friends. Go talk to the people that you trust and really understand an issue. And I think that connection, they've done such a good job with social media, with reaching out to groups like us to give us the information we need so we can have those really personal discussions. And that's what's going to change minds. And that's what's going to get people out to vote in November.
So it was a discussion topic at the 30,000 foot level, Kate, but now we're bringing it back down to something specific with Republican legislators introducing a 14-week ban, which sometimes I wonder if it was intentional to keep people from talking about the issue at large and keep you busy putting out these smaller fires. But regardless of the motivation, the bill is there. It's being rushed through a committee hearing today. What is it you want people to know about that bill?
Yeah, so I do think it was probably intentional. I mean, it's a very significant day in, like, historically speaking, in terms of reproductive rights, of course. And rushing it through, I think, is a way of them just trying to maybe stifle some other things that are going on. But what's really important, and Emily talked about this a little bit too, in talking to other people. So they're putting forth, you know, a 14-week abortion ban. And there's a lot of people in the public who think, well, maybe like if somebody needs an abortion, they should have it in the first trimester. And so they're going to kind of rely on that messaging to talk to those people. And I think part of what we're doing, well, first of all, you know, we're confident that Governor Evers, you know, will not let this go forward, but they're doing it anyways, because they still want to build a narrative around that they're trying to be quote unquote reasonable about this. But we really want people out there talking to their friends and family about why these time limits should not be set by politicians either, that there's no morality connected to them. And it really still needs to be a decision between the pregnant person and their medical care team. As we learned recently with stories like Kate Cox coming out of Texas, and, you know, anybody who's been pregnant knows this, when you do kind of genetic testing and have more of the scans, a lot of, you know, really catastrophic things or fetal abnormalities don't come up until well after the first trimester, and sometimes closer to 14, 16, 18 weeks. And many of these things are desperately wanted pregnancies. And so talking to your groups, to your network about why even something like an abortion ban at 14 weeks that may be presented as more reasonable than like a 6-week heartbeat bill, that is their intention, but it is still a major restriction on reproductive rights for women. And that's why we need to be out there talking to our communities about that.
To your point, Kate, as an OBGYN doctor, 6 weeks, 14 weeks, 15 weeks, all these numbers that you see just thrown out there, right, because they have no significance. The further along you get in your pregnancy, the more likely this is to be a desired but flawed pregnancy. So the more these politicians are harming people and families and communities, it makes absolutely no sense for those of us who really understand what this means. And that leads me to a question for either of you. But Emily, you had mentioned that you're out there talking to people and encouraging people to have these conversations. I'm sure you're also listening. What are you hearing from the people you're talking to? What do they care about? And what do they want to get out there?
Yeah, I think they care about the people they love. And when I talk about this issue specifically to people who have been pregnant, people who love people who have been pregnant, they all can think of someone. And earlier in the show, you were saying 1 in 4 women, and you feel that. You know, I remember the moment I found out Roe fell, and I thought of specific people I love and those scenarios. And there's so much people don't understand, you know, to these weeks and months and those types of things. We've listened a lot, we've learned a lot, and it's not something people are talking about every day. You know, we've been taught not to talk about topics like this. And so, you know, that's where education can be so helpful, to explain that having a miscarriage and needing an intervention is an abortion. You know, Chrissy Teigen, you know, coming out and talking about that on Instagram as an example, those are the types of discussions that I think really help people understand when they see a law like this come out. And then there's components of this law that I'd love, you know, Dr. Lowerly, for you to talk about, because in addition, people want those medical exceptions, and there is something in there, but it also, again, dictates if it needs to be done, how it must be done, right? And my understanding is it needs to be either a C-section or a vaginal, you know, birth of this situation. And to me, again, it's just like, why are you trying to write that into legislation? Why aren't they letting great people like you make that decision?
Yeah, the risk of, I think the way that it reads is something like the best chance for the fetus to survive.
Yes.
That means that I'm doing a C-section for someone who's 22 weeks pregnant. That not only will not yield a living baby, that baby will die, but then that woman's uterus is ruined. And if she were to become pregnant in the future, it would be a high-risk pregnancy that would require another C-section in the future, which makes it a much riskier pregnancy. So this legislation that these Republicans are proposing does not save babies, and it does harm women and harm their future reproductive potential. And unless we're having these conversations, we don't understand these details because they're complicated. So again, to your point, we've got to have these conversations, and we have to talk, and we also have to listen.
And frankly, doing so repeatedly over and over again, because as we all now know, studying political speech, you know, if something is said once or twice, it's forgotten. It doesn't take root. When something is said over and over and over again, it takes root, whether it's true or not. And Kate, I'm thinking specifically of the political rhetoric that I'm sure you still have to deal with, because I'm still hearing it from politicians going, oh, well, you know, there are people there that they want abortion up to 9 months. They even want abortion after delivery. And you somehow, there's people that still believe that because it was said often enough that it makes your job that much tougher when you're maybe meeting, you know, somebody in your community who says, oh yeah, I heard they abort babies after birth.
That's so frustrating, because there's nothing really to say to that other than like, that's not a thing ever. I mean, tell me what you're talking about, because it's not a thing. And I wish that when it's presented like that, even, I mean, there was a couple times on within the primary Republican debates where it was brought up like that. And I know they were done by Fox News moderators and stuff, but like, come on. I feel like the journalists and everybody need to push back on that talking point, because it is just not true. And when people are watching that and they see nobody pushing back, they think it's a thing. It is not a thing. But as Dr. Lowerly was saying earlier, those, you know, once you get past the first trimester, typically like the farther along you get, the more excruciating of a decision is, and the more trauma and heartbreak that's associated with it. So it's like a no-win situation regardless. And it's a lot to have to overcome false narratives and that rhetoric and the mis and disinformation, which is why it's so important. And there's a lot of that online too, right? Which is why it's extra important, especially this cycle, to be having those one-on-one conversations with your community members. And try not to be, people just don't know sometimes. So I know it's such an emotionally charged topic, but as Dr. Lowerly was saying, like, try to listen first and then calmly explain where they're mistaken and what it really is, and have those conversations, and you are more knowledgeable, I think, than you realize. And we try to tell people that a lot.
And sometimes you may not agree, and that's okay, as long as you keep that communication pathway open and respect each other.
Yeah.
To learn more about what the group is talking about and doing, check them out on Instagram. The account is at Motherhood for Good. Just spell it all out, Motherhood for Good, to learn much more as they monitor the vice president's trip and all the discussions that are being held because of it, and rightly so. Emily Tyne, Kate Duffy, thank you again so much. Hope you have a great start to the week.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Kristen, you take care there. We'll see you on Thursday for Women Win Wisconsin.
Can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
All right. Coming up next, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell, 3 things you need to know after this, you're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, stay tuned, because coming up at 8 o'clock, you'll hear the Earl Ingram Show on most of the Civic Media radio stations. Those of you listening to Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, you've got Chad Holmes coming up at the top of the hour, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and Friends over in Wisconsin Rapids. Everybody's followed by Jane Matner on air, along with Mr. Bach, and then Todd Alba from noon to 2. All coming up here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And now that I've seen Greg do this gig personally at the Waukesha studio, I'm still not exactly sure how he does it. Having two different two-hour radio shows at a couple of different parts of the day. Greg, you are a stronger man than I am to be able to pull this one off.
Oh, you're very sweet to say it.
And there he goes.
What time is it?
We'll see if Terry Bell checks in here in a little bit. But
Terry,
again,
busy day
as they, well, getting the news team ready for, you know, it's going to be a busy day of covering the vice president's trip here. Let's see. We've got a comment on the text line from somebody listening at WXCO. Saying thank you for the excellent discussion this morning. I'd like to see us discuss what is being done to help the women and now children being born since Roe ended. The other side, they write, only cares about protecting life during pregnancy. What about the assistance we need after? This should be brought up more frequently. That's a great point. We did. We brought that up, I want to say last week, if not the week before, about, yeah, what are you doing? Are you doing, besides protesting people's abortion rights, are you being involved in helping as a foster parent? Are you supporting the Medicaid expansion so that women who do now have to carry a pregnancy to term have health care coverage up to 12 months postpartum? You know, what else is out there besides just protesting somebody else's rights? It's a very valid question for people to address.
It's one that's brought up quite regularly, and it's always, the answer is no, because once the baby is out, it's your problem. And, you know, I mean, just going back to what you were talking about, and we spoke about last week about this whole expansion to cover 12 months after pregnancy. One, come on. It's a no-brainer. It's got the votes. It's got the encouragement. It's got the collaboration. There's just one guy sitting on it, and we can make it work. We can make it happen.
That would be Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who continues to bottle up that particular bill. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joins us now with three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, good morning. How was your weekend?
Good morning, Pat. It was great, except for that Packer game. It was exciting throughout the whole time. We just didn't like the very end is all.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's kind of like, you know, when we were following the Badger volleyball team. You know, you're having this great season, all kinds of wonderful highs. But, you know, in the end, for everybody but one, sports seasons end, you know, with heartbreak. But
you're absolutely right.
You just got to take that and turn it into, you know, something new and positive to look forward to the next season. But we were talking a bit about reproductive rights here, and that is the focus of things both in the Waukesha area and also in the state capitol today.
That's right. There's a hearing on a bill to put this initiative to a statewide referendum to basically shorten the window for legal abortions to 14 weeks. And I don't think it's obviously it's no accident that that hearing was scheduled for today while the vice president is in Wisconsin to talk about reproductive rights. The, you know, this is the opening salvo. I think the race for Wisconsin, if it hasn't already been underway for several months, kicks into high gear today.
And in doing so, again, I see what Republicans are doing to appeal to their base, but there has been, I couldn't possibly tell you, Terry, how many Marquette polls you've seen and I've seen that show that independent voters, you know, they do not want strict abortion bans. They did not even want the repeal of Roe v. Wade. So it may be a fight for Wisconsin, but it sure sounds more like a fight just to keep a base happy than to, you know, grow it at all.
Yeah, Republicans are in a tricky spot. They know that they have taken an unpopular stand on an issue. And I think it's no accident that's also, there are no accidents. That's not just me guessing. The vice president is in Waukesha County today because Democrats believe they have a possibility to take some votes away from Republicans and independents, people, suburban women in particular, who support abortion rights, who might otherwise take a longer look at a Republican candidate. But Democrats think they've got an issue that they can get more votes on.
Yeah, and we mentioned it while I was in Waukesha, but it's worth noting again for folks who think of Waukesha County as just that Republican place. It's actually the third largest group of Democratic voters as well after Milwaukee and Dane County, because there are a whole lot of people living in the suburbs, yep. And that includes a whole lot of Democratic voters and independent voters who are very much in play. Speaking of independent voters, the ones in New Hampshire go to a primary tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see how independent voters break now that Ron DeSantis is out of the Republican presidential race.
Aww. Yeah, very interesting. I mean, some of the thinking is that this is what Trump's opponents within the Republican Party have wanted, and that's a one candidate for all anti-Trump voters to coalesce around. So now we have that. We'll see how it plays out. Ron DeSantis basically just burned through all his money in an attempt to make a better showing than he did in Iowa, and instead he wound up a distant second and down so much money he couldn't possibly raise it again. So it was just he just put himself in an unsustainable, unfeasible situation to keep going. So it's Trump versus Haley now.
Yep. And will independent voters make a statement there, or will they stay out of it? And, you know, Republican voters who, you know, clearly lean toward Donald Trump, just allow him to run away with it. We'll find out those results tomorrow, which also takes us to another event, the State of the State address happening in the Wisconsin State Capitol from Governor Tony Evers.
Right. And, you know, people might ask, well, what's the big deal about, you know, a governor giving a speech? They do that all the time. But the State of the State is important. It sets the tone for the year. Usually it would set the tone for legislative initiatives for the upcoming year. But it's a little bit different during election years. There's the legislature will not be on the job for very much longer until about mid-March or so. Is there a time to hammer compromises on things like tax cuts or education or what to do with the state surplus? That remains to be seen. But I think what you're going to hear the governor talk more about this afternoon are big picture things to set the tone for the upcoming elections.
All right. Lots of coverage of that coming up from the Civic Media News team and Terry Bell. Terry, thank you very much. Have a great start to the week. All right. Gregory, thank you. I've never called you Gregory before.
That's fine. You can call me Gregory if you want. That's fine.
Okay.
That's
Gregory,
fine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day yourself. Thanks to all of you for being part of this. Hans Breitenmoser will join us tomorrow morning on a Tuesday morning here on Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Monday. See you tomorrow.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.